number 128, that beautiful name, and we will sing both the first and fourth verses. Hymnal to hymn number 372, Look and Live. We will sing the first and fourth verses.
Messages, what a difference, dot, dot, dot. And you fill in the blank on that. Lots of things, what a difference. And the reading for that comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, the second chapter, the 13th through the 15th verses. Matthew 2, verses 13 to 15. Now, the context of this reading is that the three Magi, had come to visit and praise Jesus. And so they had come and brought their gifts and presented them to Jesus. And this is where the reading begins. When the Magi had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. Hearing at our scripture reading, may the Lord add his blessing to the hearing and the keeping of his word this day. What a difference. As I say, you can fill in the blank. You can say, what a difference a day makes. Remember Christmas. Got up and there were presents under the tree. A nice meal was cooking in the oven, and on top of the stove we sat down to a formal dinner together. The next day we were all curled up in our recliners with a plate full of leftovers that got warmed up for a minute and a half in the microwave. No presents under the tree anymore. What a difference a day makes. What a difference a week makes. Last week, I was called and told Alan was not feeling well. He might not be able to be there that day. So I kind of threw together an idea, and Alan was able to preach, praise the Lord. But then this week, he wasn't able. So this is why you're still getting a message with a bit of a Christmas flavor to it, because I am just expanding on what I had prepared for last week. And so what a difference a week makes. You're finally getting to hear the message that I had kind of ready for last week. And what a difference a person makes. Anybody do any channel surfing during the holiday season? Going along, and all of a sudden, up pops a movie. And it's got Jimmy Stewart standing out in the snow. Ha 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 ha, I recognize that one. Yes, indeed, it's A Wonderful Life. And I got the part just where he was going to go out on the bridge and throw himself into the river and kill himself. He felt like such a failure that the world would have been a better place if he had never been born. And I think all of you know who he met out there, Clarence the Angel. And he had the opportunity of seeing what the world would have been like had he never been born. And so George Bailey had a chance to see what a difference a single person's life can make in a town. Bedford Falls, in that case. A single person can have a major impact on a family, on the world. Especially in a family context, if that new person is a baby, big changes happen, okay? Now, rooms have to be reassigned, or they have to move to even a larger home because there's not enough room in a small apartment or the small home you had before. The baby comes, so the move needs to be made and changes come about. Any baby causes a difference and a lot of changes for a family. But those differences were even greater when the baby was the baby Jesus. Let's consider the differences Jesus made with his birth. First of all, on a personal family level, look at the lives of Mary and Joseph. Look at how quickly they had to move. Once Jesus was born, you can rest assured that that first move was out of the stable, and that happened as quickly as they could get it done. And where they were from the stable, we're not certain. We are told that when the Magi appeared, they found Mary and Jesus and Joseph in a home, in a house. We don't know whose house. Might have been a distant family member. If you remember, they were in Bethlehem because Joseph was of the line and lineage of David. And so it could be that they found out there was a family member somewhere in town they could stay with while Mary recovered from the birth of the baby. We're not told how long they were there. Mary probably wanted to rest up from delivering the baby and the trip from Nazareth down to Bethlehem to begin with. And as concerned parents, they probably didn't want to take a newborn infant on the rigors of a 90-mile trip back to Nazareth. So they found a home, and they were resting there until these strangers showed up at the door. Jesus attracted a lot of strangers. Shepherds came to the stable, and Magi came to the house. And they brought gifts that they gave to Jesus and honored him. And told Mary and Joseph they had seen the star and all the wonderful things that they had known about this wonderful baby. And then it came time for the Magi to leave. And at long last, Mary and Joseph could settle down for a while, right? Wrong. Herod the butcher had heard that a baby king was born. And in his insecurity and in his concern for his own position and his paranoia, he called together his men and he ordered that every male infant, 2 years old and younger, was to be killed to prevent them from taking Herod's reign from him. And of course, God knew of Herod's plans and he sent an angel to Joseph and they left behind their second domicile. And this time left for Egypt. Now, we're not told exactly where in Egypt they were, but if you look at a map, you realize that the trip from Bethlehem to Israel was at least twice as long as the trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And we're not told how long they stayed in Egypt. Could have been as short as a few months. Could have been as long as 2 years. And finally, Joseph was told in another dream that Herod had died, and so it was safe to go home. And for the first time in a long time, Mary and Joseph looked upon Nazareth and rested in their own home. Now, stop and think about that. They had traveled over 500 miles on foot, riding on the back of a donkey. They had lived in at least three different places, if you count the stable. And finally, they were back home, and all that had happened in anywhere from a year to 2 years' time. What a difference that baby made in their lives. We'll stop and consider the effect of the baby Jesus, not just on his family, but on the nation of Israel. Stop and think that for over 400 years, God had not spoken to his chosen people. Rabbinic Judaism tells us that the whole prophecy concept stopped with the death of Malachi. And Malachi's prophetic career ended 425 years, at least, before the birth of Jesus. That's a long gap in prophecy for Israel. God's chosen people had not formally heard from God for over 400 years. There was no prophecy in Israel. Now, God may have spoken to individual people during that time. We certainly know that he spoke to the father of Joseph and spoke to him in a dream, and Zechariah followed God's commands. We know that God spoke to Joseph and to Mary. But again, those are not prophetic messages. Those are individual messages. There was no call for Israel to change its relationship to God. There was no call for righteousness and repentance for 400 years and more. There is no prophecy in Israel. There was no word from God. And finally, with the birth of Jesus, God would be speaking to Israel again. However, God would not be speaking through a prophet. God spoke in person. If you look in the book of Hebrews, the first two verses, and powerful, powerful message here. sword drill here. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in his last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. That's the baby that laid in that manger in Bethlehem. That's the baby that made the trip from Bethlehem to Egypt and finally settled in Nazareth sometime in his first or second year on this earth. So the presence of Jesus in the world brought about another difference, another change. He brought change to his earthly family. He brought change to the chosen people of God. And in the end of his earthly life, he would bring change to the entire world. In his death and resurrection, he would offer eternal change to every person in the history of the world. That change is from judgment and death to forgiveness and eternal bliss in the heavenly kingdom. I'm not talking about a change in the world of the people of that time. I'm talking about a change in the life of every person who existed from Adam until the end of life on this earth as we know it. Romans 8:22 says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now." The baby in the manger in Bethlehem brought healing not only to humanity, but to the entirety of creation. Inanimate creation as well. What a difference a man can make. Especially when that man is God in the flesh. He made everything change. Now, on this first Sunday of 2021, we can look back at last year and realize it was different. Lots of changes. The world as a whole has been brought to its knees by the COVID pandemic. That pandemic has touched the lives of everyone in this nation and in the world. People all over the world have felt the pain of death and sickness caused by that virus. And also there have been political changes. The degree of those changes may still not have been fully decided. The daily personal upheavals caused by those political changes cannot be determined at this time as far as their extent and their impact. Those things may not settle down for months or longer. The phrase, the new normal, is being used time and again. And what we are doing is we're being conditioned to the fact that the life that we knew will never come back. So I point back to the title of this message. What a difference. And difference means change. And change can be very difficult. And change can be frightening. So you think about all those changes back in first century Judaism in the life of Joseph and Mary, and the changes in 2021. In all those things, there's one factor that has not changed. The God who became a man has not changed. The one who caused all that change has not changed himself. He still sits at the right hand of the Father. He still rules over all of creation. He still lives in the hearts of every believer. And he is there to be the strength that will carry us through the changes in our country and in our lives. He gives us the peace that passes all understanding. Jesus promised us that peace in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. In John 16:33, Jesus told his disciples, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And Jesus has overcome the world. He's overcome all of its changes. He has overcome its difficulties. He has overcome its fears. Through his death and resurrection, he has taken away the greatest single fear we have, death. Back to the basics. In John 3:16, the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God gave his only begotten Son to us in a manger in Bethlehem. On Good Friday, God gave us his Son again on the cross of Calvary. On Easter Sunday, God gave us his Son once more as a risen Savior. So this day I encourage you to fully open your heart to Jesus and let him be your Savior. And yes, allow him to save you from your sins, but also let him save you from the daily traumas that all these differences can cause in your life. Let him help save you from the impact of all the changes and the fears and the concerns. And let him be the rock in your life. Let him bring you the same confidence he gave the psalmist who told us in Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. So I encourage you this day, let the Prince of Peace calm you at the end of every day. Let him be the rock you cling to when it feels like the rest of your world is just falling apart. Open yourself to the difference which can only be made by that one person in your life. Now, you may all be thinking, Mark, yeah, you're preaching to the choir. Yeah, we know Jesus. And no, I haven't given any great theological insights in this message this morning. And most of you knew those biblical passages I shared. But I just wanted to remind you, take them to heart. I don't know about you, but I need that peace that passes all understanding. I need a Savior, not just for eternity, but for each and every day. Jesus wants to be that. Open yourself to him. Let him in your life and know his presence like you never have before. We're going to sing together a hymn of invitation. It's hymn number 458. Fill my cup, Lord. And if God is calling you, won't you come this day and let him in to your heart? Would you stand, please?
We will sing the first and third verses.